Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. It's a wonderful day in Hampton Roads. This is actually being recorded on I guess it's March the 6th to be played on Tuesday, March 8th. And the reason we're doing that is that Colleen's got a radio convention going on to a Christian convention. What's going on this day, while you're not here, but we're actually here.
Pretty much at this time, I'll be presenting awards for the radio station of the year and program of the year and the impact award of someone who's made a great impact on Christian radio over the last several years. And so it's a great honor to be a part of that and just be for that. So I will be missing my regular responsibilities here at the radio station, but definitely I will be very, very busy in Nashville next week.
I didn't get an invitation.
Can always join. Yes, no, it's a lot of fun, and
Well,
I learn a lot the week, and so I come back with a lot of inspiration and things like that. So it's a great opportunity.
maybe next year we'll get the Great Impact Award. We'll see what happens. And today we're going to be talking about we're going to be focused a little bit on the war in Russia. But before we do that, Colin, can you let us know who sponsors this program?
Alliance Legal Group is the sponsor of the program. And because this is pre-recorded, you won't be able to call in, but we do ask you to connect with us through Steve's Alliance Legal Group at debtfreeva.com. It's www.debtfreeva.com. He's a legal firm here in Hampton Roads, and they do a lot of different legal services, including bankruptcy and family law and things like that. And so we invite you to chat through that way if you have a question or comment regarding the program, or you want more information regarding legal services. So please reach out to the Alliance Legal Group at debtfreeva.com.
Yeah, and like I said, I would really love to hook up with you, talk to you, and help you with your financial situations, or talk about this show. We're gonna have a lot of financial situations. We'll talk a little bit about that today. If you haven't realized it, that inflation is starting to skyrocket. You know, I went to church this morning, and on the way to church at 9 o'clock or so, the gas at 7-Eleven was $3.79. On the way back from church, 2 hours later, it was $3.99. That just is going out of, it's going crazy. And probably by Tuesday, people say, "Well, $3.99 was a bargain. You should have bought all you could have got." They will.
At
That
some
the other
point
side,
in time.
we're thinking $7 a gallon. That I'm getting my scooters worked on this week just so that I can have some affordable transportation. And so we're going to be talking about that and why that's happening as we talk about the war in Russia today. And we have my good friend, my one of my is Pastor Tony. Is Pastor Tony on the phone with us already?
Yes, you are. Good afternoon, Steve. How are you? Glad to be
Man,
here.
I'll tell you that, folks, I just want to share with you, my friend Tony, Pastor Tony, that we went to high school together. He was a year older than me. Were you a senior when I was a sophomore? Or were you
Yes.
no, you were a junior. I was a junior when you were a senior, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
But we played on the same football team, the senior, my junior year, he was and so that I love Tony and the he became a pastor as well, and he's traveling across the United States, just doing the calling God's called him to do. And right now, I believe you're in Arkansas. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in a little place called Bologna, Arkansas. I'm in a little trailer park, lake. It's called La Flute Trailer Park. It's got a really cool little chapel on the hill. It's got a nice little lake. It's got people who've been here for a long time. The owner just bought it in October. Their goal is to put a couple of Christian camps on here for kids and for pastors to do to recharge.
And what's really cool about what's going on in Tony's life and my life is about a year and a half ago, just before the elections were stolen, actually about July of 2000, I guess what, July of 2019, maybe. Has been that long? Or 20? No, it was July. July of 2020, correct? No.
Yeah.
July of 2020. So that is 22. Right. So yeah. So about July of 2020. That of course my brother is Tony's one is a very good friend of Tony, and that through that whole relationship we got together and that Tony was in the middle of God doing something really special in his life, moving him out of a home, putting him in a RV to travel across the United States, and so that's what he's been doing. But it's just been a great adventure that both he and I have been able to enjoy over the last year and a half, 2 years, I guess, of getting to know each other again and just finding out that, you know, that God puts people together at the right time for the right reason. And so I just really appreciate Tony. You're going to see and hear more from Tony down the road that he's going to actually be in Virginia in next week to 10 days. We hope to have him actually on the program. He's on the program directly, but maybe even in the studio. And so we're just looking forward to that, Tony. And so with all that being said, we got a special show today. We're going to be talking about the war in Russia. And so let's just go ahead and jump on in. If I had to entitle this show today, Colleen, it would be called something like the war in Russia: distractions and last day implications. You know, so Tony, talk to me about how, you know, we've been talking about how the war in Russia is almost like a distraction. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's obviously real. I mean, there's a war going on.
Yeah. Well, and if you notice through our history, our country has always done one thing really well: blow things up and then pay to rebuild them, and which makes money. But also, whenever something's going on in the country, throughout the world, it's a common practice to start a conflict somewhere so the people become unified behind whatever part of the government is leading at that point. And I believe that's what's going on right now. Putin did not want to be part of the EU. He did not want to join the New World Order. He does not support the World Bank system. He wants to be left alone. He's a tyrannical dictator, but he's also run his country for almost 20 years now. And in the process, there had to be a way of getting him to be the real bad guy, and that was to have Ukraine threaten to join NATO. And he actually said, "I don't want another NATO country on my border." And so I believe a lot of this is they're distracting us while they're doing other things. While the war's going on, they just, pardon me?
Go ahead.
I said, while this war is going on, there's other things happening in our government. They just signed the bill for the worldwide vaccine agreement. It was signed on March 1st. No one talks about that. They just signed a worldwide banking agreement to try and allow them to seize money from people who disagree with the government. There's a lot going on that we don't see, and I believe that's what's really going on.
Now, wait a minute, Tony. Let me put this in context. What I hear you saying, let me just make sure that you're thinking maybe there's this worldwide cabal, this global leadership that wants to do a great reset and, you know, depopulate the population from 8 billion down to 500 million. And they've got a plan. They've got a plan to take over every government of the world, knock mm-hmm. down the sovereignty of the superpowers like Russia and the United States. And then possibly after they get the numbers down to a reasonable number and through that entire period, control the population, make them slaves, ultimately turn them into transhuman bots, all connected to a hive mind. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And it's not me saying it. You can go right online and go to their site and read their beliefs and their doctrines.
And I bet you I could go one step further. They got a plan. And it's a well worked out plan with AI computers, artificial intelligence computer, all coming out of the WEF, all designed and all planned to basically go one step at a time. First vaccinate, do a CCP virus, then do an injection called a vaccine. Then when people get tired of the not necessarily get undeceived, but they recognize there's nothing out there to get sick on and nothing to fear, then switch it up, and then all of a sudden say, well, you weren't. The good news is you don't have a plandemic anymore. You now have a World War III. So is that kind of what I hear you saying?
Yeah, exactly. And the reality is many of us took the pain and the effort to try and watch the State of Disunion address we had on. And Biden himself said it. He actually said out of his own mouth, now that all the governments are walking together in lockstep,
he did
we
say
can move forward. And
wasn't that
having a party and dancing around a table? He means they're all moving in agreement that each one does exactly what they're supposed to do to move this agenda forward. And while that's happening, the war allows them to do other things. There's a video you can watch on Gateway Pundit and Epic Times of the Ukrainian news media who's now being attacked, saying we have evidence of where the money's gone that's missing from the Ukrainian government that we've given them over the years, and it all comes back to the U.S. and it all comes back to three primary names. They're saying we have the account numbers, we have the information.
Who are those account names? Would one start with a B and another start with a C?
One starts with a B, one starts with a C, and the other one, oh my gosh. Oh.
Well, so let's again add some more context to this whole thing. So we're saying just the war in Russia, distractions, last day implications. We're still working on the distractions. But Colleen, do you remember something going on in Canada about 2 weeks ago?
Well, there was the mandates with the vaccines and the truckers protesting.
The truckers. Now, right after that, about actually 2 weeks ago today, wasn't there going to be something happening like that in the United States?
Right. Yes.
There was, wasn't there?
I thought that there was still something happening.
There's something happening, but you're not seeing a whole lot of publicity.
No, I had to dig a little bit to find some information. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to kind of dig anymore. Did you have to dig when you were hearing about the vaccines in Canada?
No, it's everywhere.
It was everywhere. And in fact, if anybody during the last 2 years could say that we were winning, would you say that for the first time, the people were winning?
People are winning. I did see New York City was going to take away some of their mandates and things too. So
Canada, the truckers had struck a nerve across the world, that there was protests going on all over the place that they'd been working on, but something Canada did, those truckers had the chutzpah and the world behind them, and it was bringing one of the world dictators, Trudeau, and his minions to their knees, and all of a sudden something changed radically. This was 2 weeks ago. There was a pandemic claimed to be going on. There was necessary vaccines and mandates that had to be done, that there were people being beat up outside their cars, old men and people, because they were honking their horn because of this thing, that they had the UN troops. This was a big deal, but it's gone. And the whole trucker thing going to the United States and everybody going to round up and do the same thing and go to Washington, D.C., it disappeared. And the reason it did is about 7 days ago, there was this thing called the Russia-Ukraine war that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, took all the attention of everybody, and everything that you saw was no longer about the truckers, no longer about the vaccine mandates. In fact, I think I was at the store today, and I saw on a milk carton this guy named Fauci. He's disappeared.
Yeah, we haven't heard too much from him either.
He's disappeared. Where did Fauci go? He's gone. He was the same guy that said you had to wear one or two or five masks and you got to do it for the rest of your life forever. And this thing's never going to go away. And then all of a sudden, he's disappeared. We see these, kind of bombshell sort of breaking things where Pfizer has been hiding all this information. Things that would be considered crimes against humanity. They wanted 75 years to turn the documents in. And then all of a sudden, these lawsuits and these FOIA requests and everything else, these documents Wasn't there a document just the other, I don't know her name, but this doctor had met with, this was, if you remember this guy named Corey, Dr. Corey was speaking in front of, you probably don't remember, there's been so much stuff over the last year and a half. In December of 2020, this Dr. Corey, he came on, he was, I don't know if he was with the frontline doctors or not, but he had a congressional testimony time. He was saying, ivermectin is the greatest thing. It's a miracle drug. The words came out of his mouth. He's saying that 75 to 85% of the people that take it prophylactically don't get sick. He had this study of like 1,000 medical workers treating COVID patients. The 500 were treated with ivermectin. The other one prophylactically, 500 weren't. Zero of the 500 got sick that were prophylactically treated. 55%.
Yeah, 75% reduction.
Yeah. Well, and 55% of the people that weren't treated got sick. And so this thing's a miracle drug. And so that this lady, this doctor, comes out and she says, well, this is great. The pandemic's over. No need for any vaccines. This is going to be great. I work for the WHO. And that once I tell the person that's the lead person that works at some college who works at the WHO, all this great information, confirm all this information, the pandemic's over. No need for vaccines. Everybody can go back to work, get rid of the mask, and everything's good. 100% miracle cure drug that's been tried since the 50s. It's got a Nobel Prize background that is not just for deworming people in different countries or every single thing you can possibly imagine, but it will actually get rid of this COVID-19 forever. It also cures cancer, apparently. I mean, but they don't want you to know that either. And every other sort of disease that comes out of these globalist sort of pockets. And so she tells the guy, the main person for the WA, the lead person, about this. And he's saying, man, this is great stuff. This is great stuff, great stuff, great stuff. And then it gets to January of like 11th or 15th of 2021. And it's time for him to give the report to the WHO. And the report says, it's a miracle drug. 85% of the people get cured, that nobody gets really sick bad. And it's great. It's better than anything that you could possibly imagine. And then, him and this doctor that's communicating this are saying, wow, this is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, on the 15th, when the report has to come out, the report says it's a great drug, except we should have clinical trials for the next 2 years to determine whether or not it's safe. And so the lady goes to the guy and said, look, are you crazy? People are dying. We need this thing. It's going to end the pandemic. The experimental inoculations are definitely not tested, and you're not opposed to those from the WHO. Why are you saying about this ivermectin that it should go on a 2-year trial basis? He says, well, I really can't. And you watch him fidgeting on the film, and he said, there's some people out there that don't really think ivermectin's that good. And then she calls back because, they're buddies, they're working in this project for the last several months, trying to, cure the pandemic. And then she says, people are dying. If you don't get this thing out there, the people are going to die. People aren't going to use this thing. Ivermectin's a cure-all. I mean, nobody's ever died from taking ivermectin in the 50 years that it's been taken. Why are you saying that we need more trial things after you've read all this stuff? And so finally he says, well, what's the name of that company, Tony? But he says, well, there's some people that don't like it. And he said, well, who? And then, that's what I need to know the name. But
Dr. Tess Lori. Isn't her name is Tess Lori. Uh-huh. She's an independent.
Provider of information to the WHO. She's got no bones to pick. She doesn't give stuff to the WHO. So that she's been working for years and years and years, and she's very trusted by them.
And she's from Great Britain or England. She's been around for a long time. She's got the largest research facility of its type that is independent in the world. She's one of the go-to people. And like you're saying, she pretty much came out and said she took it upon herself without any funding, without any money. She just wanted to try and make a difference. And she reviewed all the critical research her and her team she put together over a 6-month period, 25,000 different tests that they had been done on ivermectin over the years, over this year. And it showed that ivermectin was pretty much a miracle drug. it had low to no adverse effects at all. And when people took it, if a person was in the hospital and in critical care and they gave them ivermectin, they had a 75% immediate reduction in death rate in the hospitals.
And up to 85% by the end of the trial.
Yeah, and then the government said, nope, you can't do it anymore.
But who is the guy? Who is the guy that the shill from the WHO that was the?
I'm looking for his name right now. Is it Andrew Hill?
That sounds like him. Yeah, that sounds like him. He was the point guy for the WHO, the UN. That that if he wrote a report saying let's use it, everybody would read it and say, okay, the pandemic's over. But then,
happened was she actually gave him her report. She said, yeah. let's share research. She gave him all her research. He took the report that she gave him, rewrote it in his name only, and twisted the end result with that we need to do a 2-year trial. She's like,
no, she didn't do that. He did that.
None of the evidence. Yeah.
But yeah. What was the company that he was a professor, in addition to his providing information to the WHO, the head guy for the WHO, he was a like a professor of a university, a doctor that's enrolled in this university, and that the and then as it turns out, looking back a week, 2 or 3 days before this conversation where he all of a sudden changes his mind, how much was it? $500 million? Is that the number?
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah. It was $500 million. It was either $50 million or $500 million. I think it was $50 million. This Bill Gates Corporation, of which he's he's either on the board or he's like the chairman of the board, gives this school that this guy is part of like $50 million. And all of a sudden he changes his mind, says that, oh yeah, we can't use this ivermectin. Because, you just follow the money. You see this money going, this is, Tony, if this doesn't get investigated as crimes against humanity, I don't know what would.
Yeah, but, and you were talking about Dr. Pierre Corey was the one that went to the U.S. Congress and was begging them to let him use it. There's Dr. Laurie and Dr. Corey.
Yeah, Corey was the guy that did the December, and then, but what was the name of the company that this guy worked for, they got all the money from, or that was the Gates company. Who's the Gates company that gave the money to what school that he was part of?
I don't remember. I'm trying to find
it. It's at the end of the video. But bottom line is that's what happened. And so that the WHO, through this guy, got pressured by Gates, a Gates company, of which Gates, was the chairman, and they gave him all this money, and then all of a sudden they changed the report so the ivermectin couldn't go on. It was called, horse dewormer. And everybody said, well, you can't trust it. It's like horse paste and stuff like that. And so the bottom line is that they needed this came out this week. These guys need a distraction. Fauci disappeared. This report for ivermectin goes right along with the Pfizer reports of the just all the hiding of the documents, all the things that say that they should have told the people what was going on before they pumped them full of this mess. We saw this week Israel with the people are starting to realize these adverse effects are going to kill them. And that in Israel, more than 66% of the fully vaccinated Israelis are now suffering adverse reactions to the vaccines. And it says that the results of the recent survey were published by the Israel Ministry of Health. And of course, they've now got rid of the everything, the masks, the vaccines, everything, because people are dropping like flies. And that 50% of the adverse events have to do with women and like menstruation and lots of stillbirths, lots of miscarriages, but the most reported symptoms were delays in menstruation, 40%, 38% increase in menstrual bleeding, 31% premature menstruation, 29%, longer bleeding duration, 27%, and severe menstrual pains, 20%. So, you know, this is always not good for pregnancy. You know, I mean, this is not good for, it's a defertilization tool. And so, you know, the globalist, I'm throwing this out to tell you what's going on, that it's absolutely true that they want to depopulate. It's absolutely true they want to control, that this is the first round of many rounds of getting that accomplished. And so the first round of this weaponized virus, this gain-of-function virus, that whatever it is that came out of Wuhan, the second stage was this vaccine that causes way more damage than the virus, but that the key was that they had to get everybody vaccinated. You kept on hearing, everybody's got to get vaccinated. And so when this ivermectin came up, they said, well, that'll mess up our whole plan. We got to completely submerge it. Besides that, we have more good, you know, viruses to give these guys. You need to get rid of that mess too. And not only does this ivermectin work especially well, apparently, against the symptoms of the COVID-19, but also it works exceptionally well against the effects, the adverse effects of the vaccine. They don't want this stuff out there. They do not want this ivermectin out there. And so, you know, they don't want to go to jail either. They don't want crimes against humanity. They don't want, Gates doesn't want the information that he paid off a company, you know, from the WHO to shelve ivermectin. He doesn't want that information out there. And, you know, the other thing is the reason that Fauci's gone, the reason that we've got war in Ukraine, the reason that you have all kinds of different sort of stuff is we got an election cycle coming up. And so right now that they don't want information that Trudeau's got an election coming up. He's got like a whopping 33% that he got elected by as far as his the group of folks that he got in. And he was tanking. And so what you see now is the same politicians that are calling for freedom are the same one who took the freedoms away a month ago and 2 months ago and 3 months ago. So Biden's going to, you know, they got the worst chance of getting elected ever. So what's the best thing you do when you have the worst chance of getting elected ever? You start a war. And so they knew that this thing was going to play out, and they had round two all planned up. And that's a war, a world. And that's all you hear now is it's got to be a nuclear war. It's got to be a nuclear war. It's going to be a nuclear war. And that they're famous for making Russia the boogeyman. You know, we can get into that, but Tony, your thoughts, distractions, Fauci disappearing, Pfizer hide documents, you know, the ivermectin
One thing I want to make sure everyone's clear on is look at the CDC site. Go to the CDC and look up the history of ivermectin. Ivermectin is not a horse dewormer. Ivermectin is an anti-parasitical drug that they use because it has such a broad scope of use, and it's not dangerous, so they use it on animals. But it's used on people primarily. It won the Nobel Peace Prize. It's listed by the CDC as an essential critical medication. It's listed as an essential critical medication on the CDC. That doesn't mean it's dangerous. That means they're saying we can't do without this drug. It won the Nobel Peace Prize. But now because it's being shown to be used by good COVID, they want to turn away from it because the goal is to get everyone to take a jab. That's part of the plan. Get you to take a jab. Absolutely. Things happen to your body, you know, and in the process, people don't want to believe that, but I've got friends who've been vaccinated that had adverse reactions. I have friends. I have family that's been vaccinated.
It's not a vaccine.
No, it's an mRNA modification technology.
And
the patent tells you this will go into your cell. It'll create a false isotope, a false T marker. That T marker will penetrate into your cell. That gets into your cell and it starts to reproduce. And then it's controllable by radio wave, by 5G radio wave. I mean, there's videos that show you with different frequencies, it creates different patterns in your body. or on the petri dish. We'll do the same thing in your body. That's not the thing that's crazy.
Another thing that they wanted to distract you from is that, you know, this week the report came out that, if you would have said 2 months, 6 months, you know, listen, because I trust me, I got people in the office that, are very smart people. And I'd say, they say that that this modifies your DNA. They say, oh, no, you need to look at the fact checkers, you know, that they say this can't modify the DNA. Well, guess what? The Pfizer documents say, oh, yeah, well, you know, by reverse transcription, the RMNRA, I guess, I'm not sure.
Tongue twister.
It's a tongue twister. It reverse transcripts and forever modifies your DNA. So it's producing spike proteins that cause all this damage inside your body. So you got a little factory if you've taken the, and then once you take more and more and more, you have a little factory in your DNA been ever forever modified that will produce this poison in your body that will cause myocarditis, neurological disease, immunodeficiency, you name it, infertility. You got a little, and they want you to take more and more and more. And you know that it's crazy when they want you to take something that when Dr. Malone says, it's nuts. This vaccine doesn't even touch the Omicron. It's for the Delta. And so they're putting this junk in you that basically makes you more susceptible to get sick. They actually got studies out saying that you get more sick once you take the vaccine, more likely to get Omicron than you did before you took the vaccine. Not just because it's the wrong vaccine. It's like, Colleen, if your doctor said, hey, listen, you're going for the flu shot. I don't know if you don't seem to be anti-vax. I'm pretty anti-vax now. But that a couple years ago, if somebody said, hey, listen, you're going for your flu shot, right? And they say, hey, Colleen, listen, we don't have any of the this year's flu shot, but we got some on the shelf from 5 years ago. Let's just go ahead and dose you up with that.
No.
So that's what they're saying. This stuff doesn't even work. Omicron is built on a mouse backbone, not a bat backbone. It's not the same thing. It's a completely wrong, but they say, listen, you need to take it. You need to make sure that you get your vaccine passport updated with a couple new boosters and your kid that's 6 months old, let's get him in there too. Crazy. Absolutely. How much time do we have, Colleen?
Well, we're at about 28 minutes, so we're over the halfway point for the program. You're listening to Steve Taylor's Last Days News right here on The Lighthouse, so we're glad to have you along with us as we're doing the program. It is sponsored by Alliance Legal Group right here in Hampton Roads. To connect with them, go to www.debtfreeva.com. It's debtfreeva.com, and we'd love to hear your comments, your questions, your concerns, or whatever that you have. You can chat with Steve or reach us here at the radio station, and we'd love to be able to find out what you're thinking about the program.
Absolutely. So, Tony,
have you seen the news article? Have you seen the news article yet, Steve, about the Bucharest Romanian soccer team club?
Are they alive? Tell me what's going on.
Well, it's STAUA, Steaua Bucharest. The Romanians, with the largest soccer club in Romania and one of the largest in the world, they are banning all vaccinated players from participating in soccer.
Oh yeah,
going forward, so they figure out why they're dropping on the field.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Colleen, they need this train wreck. It would have become obvious, except for everybody saying, why are you talking about the vaccine? What vaccine? We don't talk about vaccines. We don't got a mask. The State of the Union, not one person wore a mask. You know, we won. What are you talking about? That's a war that we won. What we need to talk about is World War III. And so they're hoping that this distraction, again, is going to save the day. And so they got elections coming up. They want to, the memo is, let's change the narrative. Fauci's disappeared. He's not going to appear anytime soon on any kind of radio show, any kind of TV show. They say, we never said we wanted you to take a vaccine. We didn't want you to wear a mask. What are you talking about? Everybody is mask free around here. You know, we're America, you know? And so they're changing the entire scenario. So let's talk about some of the, so the program today is the war in Russia distractions. We see why they need distractions. We see, and the question now is last day implications. You know, this seems very planned out. I think the AI computer they have at the WEF saw that basically at some point in time it was going to peter out and that they were going to have this complete disaster as far as people dying and, you know, realizing that everybody's been lied to and that the even the mass formation sort of hypnosis that people have been under, they're going to start coming out of it. And so that so they needed a distraction. They needed to win elections. They needed so round one is over. Round two begins. Now, about a week or two ago, Colleen, you rightly said that this sure looks like what? Matthew 24, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. Rumors, wars and rumors of wars. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, we have pandemics. We have
pandemics and
wars,
you know,
rumors and wars.
All kinds of stuff happening.
So, yeah, it sounds a lot like that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm 58. You're a lot younger than me, Colleen. And Tony's a year or two older than me. But I've never seen a pandemic. I've never seen worldwide shutdowns. And I've never seen a third world war either. But, you know, what happens when but, you know, we're also looking, if we're in that 7-year period that we could be in, we're soon looking at a that first horse of the apocalypse is that white horse that I think most Bible scholars of the folks that I listen to believe that there's a this Antichrist that poses as a peace leader that comes in to bring peace in the midst of conflict. And so, you know, we're, if not, but very close to that first year. And now we have this world war. And the reason we have world wars, folks, is because, well, you know, the first world war, we've got this real thing out there called the Illuminati. So that's crazy. Well, I'm not crazy. It's true. That there's a group of globalists that started way back when, but that most notably, you saw these bankers in the Bilderbergs and stuff like that, the Rothschilds and things of that nature, wanting to run the world. And so that they hired creeps like Schiff, which this guy named Jacob Schiff was one of their pawns back in the last century, of which you might recognize his name because we had a pawn, a shill in the Democratic Party called Adam Schiff, of which he's the same family. You know, just running down the thing. And, you know, through that whole mess, we ended up with the Federal Reserve. We ended up with, you know, the United States that are supposed to, pursuant to the Constitution, print their own money and print their own coins. They gave us, you know, they snuck the Federal Reserve, took away our the ability of the nation to print its own money. And so this world order that was that has been going on for a long time. The very first thing they did back in 1911, they got rid of Russia and the czars because they were against giving up their country even back then. They had already figured out that basically that these bankers were not people that they wanted to run their economy and their banks, and that they were a real problem up until the point where the shill shifts and the Trotskys and the crazies went ahead and upset they brought in the Bolshevik revolution. They got rid of the czars so that basically that they brought in communism, and that was in 1911. They got rid of the problem. Then they tried to get the League of Nations in, but you know we prevented that miraculously. Despite Woodrow Wilson, I believe, wanting to get it in, it didn't go in. A guy named Cabot Lodge famously prevented that from happening. But they weren't finished, and that by the time we had the next globalist was put in, not the next, but one of the next ones that they had under their pawn, Roosevelt, they decided they needed another world war so that they could go ahead and try to get their UN in, and this time they did. So what we see with these world globalist folks is that every time they try to solidify their world globalist power and put it under a world cabal like the League of Nations and then finally the UN, The way they do that is they get a global problem so they can provide a global solution. And it's always a global government system that will take care of all the problems. Of course, they don't prevent anything. They don't prevent any of the wars. They just cause more wars because that's how they get their power. And so since the UN has been placed in 19, whatever, right after the Second World War, that they haven't caused any good things, just bad things. They've come up with, they're absolutely the one world order that want to literally take over the world. And so that where we're at now is that third world war. They want to solidify power. They want to gain more power. They've got their organizations like WEF, World Economic Forum, you know, with Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, all working towards a multifaceted attempt to get this power. They started out with the plandemic, the Great Reset, and they're following up with a world war so that they can go ahead and solidify power again. And they always make Russia the bad guy. And trust me, Zelensky, he's a dictator. He's a bad guy too. You know, I feel sorry for the folks in Ukraine, and I feel bad for the folks in Russia that are both these countries have dictators that basically are not good guys. They're bad guys. They don't want to create, you know, Russia, I think genuinely, listen, Russia knows, Russia, Putin, he's done his history. You know, he knows what the globalists did to get rid of the czars so that they could put communism in. I mean, that's part of his playbook. He understands who the globalists are. He understands the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergs and all those kind of folks and how he's done his history. He knows what the Trilateral Commission is, which is a bunch of globalists that basically have got their tentacles and everything in the world. He knows that stuff. And so when last year in Davos, he said, listen, you guys keep doing this mess, you're going to start a world war. He was there. He's one of the global leader students, you know, one of Klaus Schwab's students. He knows what's going on. He knows that if you don't play ball with the globalists, they take you over and wipe you out. And, you know, despite the fact that he's a dictator, he wants to keep his stuff and keep his people and keep his country. And he knows these globalists, what they will do. He's seen it happen in Russia before. He's seen the czarists taken out by the globalists. He's seen what these globalists want and what they will do, and they'll do anything in order to take over the world. He doesn't want to play ball with them. That's why the war is going on. Is he's causing a problem? He's not playing the game, and that's why anybody that you see, so you can tell. We've talked about this before. You can tell who is on whose side just by what they say. And so when you have Soros and Gates and Clinton and Biden and Trudeau and Macron and Merkel all on the same team, you probably don't want to be on that team. Tony?
You're exactly right. And the same things that are happening today, we have to look at what's happening in front of us and what's happening on the right and on the left. We have to be really careful about where information comes from. The information we have, folks, is right on the Gateway Pundit, Censored News, Epic Times, sources that are renowned for being openly free. They're not censored. You go to the Fox News, you go to the other places, they tell you the narrative. There was an old joke about TV. TV is television. And what you're doing is you're telling a vision to someone over and over till they start to believe the vision.
That's a good point.
And that's kind of how I see it.
Well, you know, listen, this is way too scripted out, Colleen. Way, way too scripted out. You know, I want to pull up the article about how, you know, Ukraine is Europe's breadbasket. They have 25% produce 25% of the wheat and corn and, you know, food for Ukraine. Right now, it's all in jeopardy. And so there's, I don't know if you've priced the loaf of a bread lately.
I haven't, though, but I have wondered if that's going to start to affect. Some people told me because of the wheat products and those kind of things that we might see some increases there. But no, I haven't priced it recently.
Well, they say it's supposed to go up a lot. I don't have an exact number, but it's going to go up a whole bunch. And that the and so the bottom line is there's a wheat shortage already going on in the world, and that it's going to get a lot worse. But you know what was interesting is that I, you know, who knows, that about 6 months ago to about a year ago, the United States was paying farmers big money for destroying the wheat crop and not planting new wheat crops. Now, you know, you call me a conspiracy theorist. I think they probably knew something was getting ready to happen in Ukraine. And, you know, part of this whole Great Reset is about destroying the world economy so that there could be a new economy based upon a global reset, with, you know, them controlling the economy. And so part of this whole plan is to destroy. Now, who would have believed that the wonderful policies that Comrade Biden had put in would do all this mess? But that, you know, completely shutting down the pipeline, the Keystone pipeline, stopping any kind of oil production, making us an oil producer to an oil buyer from, of all people, Russia. You know, listen, when Russia, and we've been hearing all week, they're going to cut off the Russian. We used to provide gas to different folks. Now we're buying 500,000 barrels a day from Russia. So they're going to cut that off. And so you're going to have your $5 an hour, $5 gas look real cheap real soon. That's why the gas is starting to go up. I went to Sam's. I was driving through the Sam's parking lot, and there were 5 to 10 cars deep and 5 cars wide of people driving up to gas tanks, the gas pumps with gas cans.
Because they know it's going to raise up even more, so you might as well get some now.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy. And so, and that's part, they've got this thing so planned out, Colin. They want to get rid of, you know, part of their whole green climate crazy stuff is to control everything, and that's part to get rid of any kind of carbon-based vehicle. And so when you have gas that's costing $7, $8, $10 a gallon, you're not going to be driving those vehicles very much. You know, and so that the that's part, it works in beautifully with their whole plan. And absolutely, I believe that they know what's going on. They've got a plan, and this is all part of a choreographed dance that unfortunately we're a part of. Tony?
Well, yeah. And you think about, which is, you just said something really important, and people don't realize, I just drove across country. And I noticed, I said it last week, I noticed driving from Mississippi to here, there are large, vast fields. I'm talking probably 80 miles, 100 miles of the drive. There's fields on both sides of the road. None of them are replanted right now. There's nothing growing in them. And people are saying, well, no, it's because it's cold and it's freezing. We've got crop that you plant pretty much year-round now. There's something you can grow almost any time of the season. You get going, so they start to shoot. They put plastic bags over the fields. I've watched it all happen for years. So right now, there's vast fields that are unplanted. And here we are. Now you think about timing. There's an old joke, location, 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 when you buy something. Well, there's another joke, it's timing, timing, timing. Well, if you want to have a crisis happen, I can't let the crisis happen if I've got crops coming in next month. I've got to wait enough time to burn up all the reserves, because we've got storehouses with wheat in them. The U.S. has one of the largest wheat and food storage programs in the world. You see all the time they dump out every so many years. They dump it out. They don't send it anywhere. They dump it out. Well, that's what happened. We got to the point now where all the reserves are gone. The timing's right. So now they're starting the narrative of the food famine coming. And the next will be food famine. It'll be gas famine. There'll be a power shortage at some point where, you know, we won't be able to generate enough energy. It's all about generating fear, because out of fear, you get control. If I can make you afraid and I can give you a solution, then you'll listen to me. And that's what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, you can add to your wars, rumors of wars, your pandemics. You can add to that, your famines where, and you, the famines will be both that you can only buy a quart of wheat for a dollar's worth of wage. Well, that sounds so familiar. Mm-hmm. I think we've read this story before, you know, it's just amazing. And people say, well, we don't see how the Russian war plays into biblical prophecy. I mean, it's all right there. I mean, again, we've spoke many times about how we believe that the New World Order, this globalist cabal, these folks that are the rich men of the earth, the merchants that got rich through this, what they call pharmakia, this pharmaceutical sorcery, this is the mystery Babylon. This is the one world government that rides the beast that's going to come out very soon. This is not the one world beast, but this is the one world system that is working towards that antichrist that's going to come right after. These are the whore that sits on many waters, which just means that basically that these rich men, these great men of the earth, as the Bible calls them, are the ones that the merchants of the earth, the Bezos, the Pfizer techs, all these guys that use their sorcery, their pharmaceutical sorcery, their power, their influence to bring captive the people of the earth. How much time do we have, Colleen? We got to be getting close.
You got about 8 minutes.
So we've got about 8 minutes. And so, you know, that as we finish up this program, the war in Russia, distractions and last day implications, that what we see happening in Russia today, and let me say another thing. The thing to know about Russia is that the narrative will soon be, if it's not already there, it is already there, that if you say anything positive about Russia or don't go on to the side against Russia, you're going to be considered a traitor. You're going to be considered worse than an anti-vaxxer. You're going to be considered an enemy of the state. You even have what's that one Republican shill that said that, you know, that the people of Russia should go ahead and kill Putin. Wasn't McConnell. Mm-hmm. Somebody just as bad as him.
It was Mitch McConnell, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Mitch McConnell.
Lindsey Graham,
yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, they've all got the narrative. The reason you don't see the real problem, get the UN out of the United States. Get the United States out of the UN and that try these guys that are working for the WEF and everybody else. You know, one of the real sad things that Dr. Malone was saying the other day is the CDC is no longer whether it ever was, I don't know, but it's certainly not now. It's an arm of the executive branch that they lie, that they manipulate, that they, it's no longer science-based. They're part of the WHO, like Tony was saying, that on March 1st, part of the deception, part of the manipulation, part of the distraction was that the first meeting of, and I don't have a lot of information, but that the first meeting to have a treaty signed by all nations of the earth, giving the authority of a world body to regulate the health and epidemiology of the world was taking place. Very soon that we're going to have the possibility of a World Health Organization making the medical choices for our medical freedom. And that's what's going on. That wasn't widely publicized because we're in the middle of a third world war. Go ahead, Tony.
It's all deviation. See, if I can get you to look in the next room, I can rob the room I'm in. I can do whatever I want in the room I'm in. All I have to get you to keep doing is paying attention to what's in the other room. So that's what you have to understand. You have to look at what the government's saying and pick up a little bit of truth and all the lies and then figure out what they're really doing. And what you're talking about is they're talking about signing a treaty that will allow the United Nations through the WHO to tell you and me, we have to take whatever they tell us. We have no more choices. The good of the many is outweighing the good of the one. We've heard that for a long time on a crazy show called Star Trek. The good of the many outweigh the good of the one. Well, that's not democracy. That's socialism.
Tony, we're down to just a couple more minutes. A couple more thoughts. We got 4 minutes. So, what really blew my mind when I saw the WEF site, 2 years ago, was this intricate AI computer that had layers and layers and layers of real-time data, predictive, and we're going to be talking about this Thursday on a show that we're going to record today, that they've got everything all planned out. One of the things they got planned out is the collapse of the U.S. economy. The collapse through this war, once we stop importing Russian oil, guess what? It's not a good thing. Guess what's going to happen? Once we've already deplatformed the SWIFT so they can't use American dollars to do transactions. So we're completely separating, isolating Russia from our financial and our petrodollar economy. What's going to happen is that the big guys, China and Russia and other folks, there's going to be no need for the petrodollar. We're not based on a gold standard. We're not going to be based on a petrodollar standard. All we're going to do is have a lot of money out there that's not backed by anything. You're going to see inflation like you've never seen it before. You're going to see a crash in the U.S. economy like it's never happened before. That's all part of the Great Reset, too. This thing is very well coordinated, very well planned out. Everything from inflation to famine to destruction of the U.S. economy and other economies, even like Russia's and others. The globalists have a plan, and it's a bad plan. And it's a plan by 2030, they say, to own nothing and be happy. But just so you know, that 2030, they've reset a meeting to do the very same thing they wanted to do in 2030 next year in Davos in 2023.
Yeah. So, one more quick tidbit is, remember something happened months ago that we were hearing all the time, and that was Evergrande. Evergrande was a Chinese company going bankrupt. The other Chinese company, Russian company, was going bankrupt. Well, now they just deplatformed Russia. Underneath, just stopped letting them use their cards in Russia. So now Russia just signed an agreement with China to use their money. We just bailed China out.
Yeah. Well, that's all we're going to have today, folks. God bless you as far as the rest of your afternoon. If you don't know Jesus, now's the time to get a relationship with you. Not just say a sinner's prayer and, go about your business, but get real about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have peace on this earth is to know where you're going after this is all over. That give your life to Jesus, that he loves you. The reason all this is happening is he's in control. He's allowing the devil, he's casting him down to the earth, and all hell is literally breaking loose on earth. But there's a purpose, and that's to sift out the wheat, to find out those that want a relationship, and to use those people in these last days. So, Colleen, we're down to the last 30 seconds. You tell me a couple thoughts, and then we'll close it up.
Well, definitely, it was a good to learn and be aware that these are distractions. Some these things are not happening by happenstance. It's all a plan. And so keep that in mind as you're paying attention to the news. And, of course, join our program on Thursday at 12:30, where we'll give you some more information.
God bless you. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
All right. Take care, folks. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.